Sacrifice, not the living, not the veterans, but the dead, the ones who gave their lives for our freedom. And let's make this a solemn holiday. Tomorrow you're supposed to take a minute at 3 p.m. in silence. I know you maybe have not done that in a while, but do it as a family. Do it. And really, the reason being, we need God's grace on this country, and we need his mercy at this time on all of our soldiers around the world that are in harm's way. Amen. We certainly know that even in what we call peacetime, lives are lost because of service. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and just look to him at this time that we mourn the loss of those who've given their lives. Father, we do bow before you today, and Father, we certainly are a grateful people in our hearts to you. Father, we are thankful that there were generations in the past who laid down their lives defending us, defending our freedom, defending our country, defending what they believed was right and true. And Father, we thank you for that ultimate sacrifice, because we know that you set the example. You gave your only begotten Son that he would die for us and pay for our sins. And so Father, today as we think about our freedoms, help us to understand freedom is not free. There's a great sacrifice that was paid. And so, Father, help us take time. I know, Lord, it's a family time, and as the holiday changed and different things, traditions, Father, some people don't even know what Memorial Day is all about. And they just think it's a time to party for a three-day weekend. But Father, help us to know the reason and to understand the reason as your people, because we as your people can understand what laying down your life means, because we read it in the Word of God. So Father, we just thank you for that love. We thank you for the sacrifice. And Lord, certainly we think of the families that are suffering even today. think of the last ultimate sacrifice over in Afghanistan of these soldiers, Lord, that they don't even have answers. The parents don't have answers, and they're suffering, many of them, Lord, because of these things that have happened. And we know that's true of so many in the last decades, Lord, and even from the Vietnam War forward. Father, we know that there's been a lot of suffering in families. And so, Father, comfort the hearts of those as they remember. Lord, some are going to be going to the cemetery and placing flags and wreaths and flowers and just remembering their lost loved ones. And Father, comfort them and give them courage and give them strength to keep their heads held up high, Lord, for this country. We know only you can do that by your grace. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Right now, we're going to ask you to take your Bible, place it in your left hand. As you go to attention, we pledge our Holy Bible. Attention, salute, pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its words in my heart, that I might not sin against God.
Now we're going to pledge allegiance to the Christian flag. Set your Bible now. Attention. Salute. Pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again, with life and liberty to all who believe.
And now to our American flag. Attention, salute, pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Amen.
Amen. We'll continue our worship service. Turn over to page 244, just a couple of pages over. My Country, 'Tis of Thee, 244.
Amen.
National Hymn of the Republic, 245. We'll have our ushers come down after this hymn.
Serving him, loving him, and even part of loving him is giving back to him. When we give back to the Lord, we're just recognizing he's the one who's blessed us with everything. And he just asks us just to give a part back to him, to honor him, and to show that we love him. So that's part of giving, is loving God, amen, just loving him back for all the love he sheds on us. So let's give with a generous heart today. Brother Scott, lead us in prayer.
Father, we bow today, Lord. We give you thanks for this day that you've given us.
Amen.
We give you thanks for this time to be gathered together, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you for our report from Brother Haynes.
Amen. Yes.
Bless his life and his family and his ministry there, Lord. And all the prayer requests that they offer tonight, Lord, we know there's a lot of activity on the reservation, Lord, and you can just continue to bless them.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. Amen.
We pray for that you help us all.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Let's stand one more time. Turn the back to 198. Onward Christian Soldiers.
Amen.
198 in the hymnal.
We
Michelle's going to come up and do our special music for you. We're excited about that.
Second Timothy chapter 2.
Second Timothy chapter 2. We'll be looking at the qualities of a good soldier, knowing that the Lord has called us to be soldiers. Amen. I hope you realize that. And we're all going to have to take inventory today on, do we have these qualities in our lives, spiritually speaking? But there's a lot of parallels, as you can see. You know, the Apostle Paul, there was Roman soldiers all around him all the time. There was a lot of lessons to learn from soldiers in the Bible. But I want you to think about what we're doing this weekend, especially tomorrow. As you know, it's a day, a memorial day, a day of remembrance, May 30th. It was established probably back in 1868 for those who died during the Civil War. And today, we honor the memories of all those who have died in military service in the United States of America. And the goal this weekend is to remember all those who gave the ultimate sacrifice to ensure our freedoms. If you go back to all the wars, I will not break that down this year, but there's over 1 million that have given the ultimate sacrifice, paid the ultimate sacrifice, laid down their lives so that we can live in freedom. And as we do this weekend, we need to remember that we are soldiers in the Lord's army. And in fact, in the service of the Lord, many have died on the battlefields of faith. And they've left us a legacy. I think of those in Hebrews chapter 11. Just take your Bible, just to give you an example of a list of people. We'll not do that today, but go home and read about that. Great men and women of God who were good soldiers of the cross, and they died on that battlefield to preserve our precious faith. They preserve the truth of God's word, our precious faith. We need to honor them, amen, as we think about honor and those who've sacrificed their lives. Of course, the ultimate sacrifice is our Savior. And I think if anyone can understand how to honor those who've given their life, it's a Christian. Because we understand what Jesus did for us. So we should be able to understand what love is. Greater love hath man, no greater love hath man than this, that he lay down his life for his brother. And we know the Lord laid down his life for us. And so we should be able to honor those who've given their life for us in this country, but also in our faith. And think about your life. You know, when one day you are going to just be a memory to those living. That's all your life's going to be, just a memory. And I want to ask you, what kind of legacy will you leave behind? I'm not going to get into the message, but I've been thinking a lot about success. I'll be preaching on that next Saturday at the graduation. And, you know, everyone has a definition of success, isn't that right? And we think, okay, this is success. And then we think we've achieved it. That's our legacy. When in reality, you've fallen short of God's definition of success. So who cares what you did in life? Who cares what you made or how big you built it? Who really is going to care? I'm going to tell you something. No one. They're not even going to remember you. But there's one thing that God remembers is how you serve him. And that's an eternal memory. That's for all eternity. And so we ought to really take inventory sometimes of what we're really living for, brethren. What, you know, you're born in this world and you grow up being conformed to the world. Meaning this, the world says this is success and we've bought into it. So we go out and we live our lives and we think we've been successful when we failed God. That's the bottom line. You just failed God. Because you live for the wrong things. The truth of the matter is, a soldier is a disciplined individual who has a mindset that is not easily deterred. Amen. Thank God for that. Because when you face life and death, and you think, okay, well, you know what? I really didn't want to do this. I'm going home to mommy. That's not going to happen. You'll probably go home in a body bag. So when you're a soldier, you have some qualities about you. And these qualities are spiritual for us today. And I want you to examine yourself and find out, do you have these qualities in your life? Do you truly measure up to what God says? The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Paul was writing from a prison, from a Roman prison. His life was truly fading away from that cell. And he took in steps, even him, to ensure that he would be remembered as a good soldier. And I'll get to that in another chapter, just two verses over there. So Paul was concerned about this, folks. He was concerned that we would remember him as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And he's writing Timothy here, and he says, this is how you are. Become a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So let's take out five qualities that we can find in these verses. Number one, a good soldier is a follower. Let me tell you something. You don't learn how to take orders, you will never make it. You will never make it. A follower. That's what he says here. He says that you are a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We're to understand, we're defining this, brethren, as a relationship we have with the Savior. I did say I had the idea that I was going to tell my commanding officer when I decided not to re-up when I was in the Marine Corps after 4 years. I decided to go into his office, and I did it, and I said, I'm joining the Army. They looked at me like, what are you saying? And I said, I'm joining the Lord's Army. And I gave my testimony. God's called me to preach, and I'm going off to Bible college, and I'm going to serve the Lord for the rest of my life. And that's the truth of the matter. You cannot serve Jesus Christ until you have a relationship with him. And you can't be a good soldier until you understand who you belong to. Amen. You belong to Jesus Christ, and you have to receive him as your Savior. But also in the military, and in as a good soldier, it implies rank. You know, there's someone always higher than you. See, that's where people today, in fact, it creates a lot of problems, doesn't it? In homes, husband-wife relationships, children-parents relationship, church member-pastor relationship, because people don't want to be told what to do. They don't want authority. They'd rather just skip over that. But there's always someone higher than you. Ranks higher than you that you ought to submit to and obey as they lead you through God's word. But I think of us, there's no one higher than Jesus Christ. Listen, you're serving. He's your commander in chief. Amen. Jesus Christ. Let's keep that straight. And that's what it's saying here. I'm going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And he is the Lord. Amen. And that's what he's saying. There's rank and there's rule. We need to obey. You know, breaking rules, breaking, just being rebellious in the military. Guess what? You'll be standing court-martialed. You'll be court-martialed out. You'll be dishonorably discharged because you just can't obey. That'll be a mark on your history. And so we have to obey. And those orders that Jesus calls us to, and I know we don't think it's going to come to that. We hope it won't. But do you know that Jesus called us unto death? Listen, when they understood the cross, take up your cross, they understood it's an instrument of death. And they understood what Jesus was saying, that you could even die for me. This is the calling I've given to you, to give your life and even to lay down your life for me, because I laid down my life for you. So that is a calling. It didn't change, brethren. We are called to obey. Listen, don't be a traitor on Jesus. Don't turn your back on Christ. Obey him even unto death. If it means that, amen, obey him unto death. A follower, but a good soldier is faithful. Amen. You know what? I liked what Brother Haynes said this morning. I'm going to beat them with a big stick. I'm going to make their life miserable. And if I can talk you out of your calling, then you're not called. I remember that back in 1991, I went to Chiapas with Brother Milton Martin. I was in missions training school. And in 2 weeks, I had dysentery, sickly unto death. We were arrested. We were put in prison by the federales. We were threatened by robbers back in the jungle. I mean, they were laying in wait for us. We've had mobs that were going to overturn our car because the driver didn't want to give him an offering, you know, give him money. And we're like, hey, throw some money in the can. You know, who cares? You know, let's get out of here. They had guns and clubs and everything. I'm talking about in 2 weeks' time. And then, of course, Brother Milton Martin had the same policy. If he could talk you out of your call, then he would do that. Meaning he would humiliate you publicly on purpose and see how you respond. So before everyone, 50, 75, 100 preachers or people there, he would call you out right in front of everyone and see how you respond. Listen, there is some truth in this. And the truth of the matter is this. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We need to be reminded that we are going to need patience, and the patience in the Bible isn't sitting here like, okay, try to move me, preacher. You know, try to make me make a decision, you know. That's not the patience, or sitting back and saying, who else is going to do this? I don't want to do this. That's not patience, amen. Patience is supporting up under the suffering, being able to support that and move forward in your life. That's patience in the Bible. And that's what it really means to endure hardness. And do not quit. A good soldier realizes there will be trouble, amen? You've been trained that way. There's going to be trouble in the way. There's going to be pain, amen? There's going to be pain. and we need extreme patience. I think of Jesus. Aren't you thankful he endured the cross? He despised the shame. Amen. He set his eyes on the prize that was before him, his glory back in heaven, being exalted. And that's what we need to see in our lives, brethren, that we're not going to be swerved from our purpose and our loyalty to Christ, even by the greatest trials and sufferings. You know, that's what enduring hardness is. You're not going to be swerved. You're not going to be deterred. You're not going to just quit along the way. But also, brethren, you're faithful in your priorities. Amen. The Bible says here, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Let's remember what it's all about. It's about living for Jesus. It's about serving Jesus. There is no greater goal in the Christian life than pleasing Christ. And know that at the end, he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. And I think we ought to bring glory to him. It ought to be our desire as a child of God to do better. There's so many things that we ought to change in our lives, and we ought to do better. But I think, but not only we're going to step away from this passage. Well, let me just mention about entangling yourself with the affairs of this life. I don't know about you, but there was always someone when we're overseas and deployed in port, there was always someone who didn't make it back to the ship. And that was terrible when you're pulling out of port. And I'll tell you, that's some serious consequences there. But why? Because they got out and they got entangled in the affairs of this life. You know, back, I can't even imagine today what it is like with social media being in the military. I know when we were deployed and we were on ship for 6 months, we didn't have social media. You know why? One good reason why. You don't need to be thinking about mom and dad back home and brothers and sisters. And you don't need to be thinking about all the problems back home and the politics back home. You need to have your priorities set right, that you're going to do the job that's set before you. Because you can't be, you know, worrying about, well, who's going to pay the bills back home and who's going to take care of the baby and who's going to, you know, what good is a soldier in a foxhole if he's always worried about back home and the problems back home? You can't entangle yourself. And that goes into our spiritual lives, brethren. We can get so entangled out here in the world that we are not soldiers for Jesus Christ like we should be. Amen? But then there's a practice over here. Let's go to our second text and we'll be ending up over here. Chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Here's what I said. Paul wanted to make sure we knew he was a good soldier. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Amen? Here's a man who took care of the things that were entrusted unto him. He was determined to do God's will. You know, it's not easy when you have to do God's will, and not everyone is going to understand that, right? I think my family thought I was foolish for living overseas for the good part of 30 years and serving in other countries as a missionary. They just thought like I was wasting my time and wasting my life doing that. So many people are not going to understand when you're sold out for God. Even at Bible college. I went to a Bible college and prepared for the ministry. And you got people going there just for the sports and just, you know, for the MRS degree and all those things, you know. And they weren't there to serve God. They weren't there to really prepare for ministry. You understand what the MRS degree is, right? Marriage degree? MRS degree? Just to find a husband. All right, now you got it. Amen. That was a popular saying in college anyway, you know. Why are you here? MRS degree? So what I'm getting at is, you know, even there, like I went from the military, which is a very dark place, overseas, many wicked, corrupt ports of entry and filth and corruption of the world, and went from there, all the, you know, other men, you know, like the only time they really respected you, and a lot of them did, is when they had problems and they knew where to go and that you had the answers they needed from God's word. And so I had a ministry, thank God for that, if you stay faithful. If you're just a hypocrite, there's no ministry. Isn't that true today? You're not going to say, I'm a Christian, and you're going out and partying, smoking cigars with the rest of them and marijuana, and then you come back, I'm a Christian, listen to me. No, you won't. No one's going to listen to you. You who don't have a testimony, you're being a hypocrite. You got to walk with Christ. You got to be faithful to Jesus. You got to take a stand for Christ and keep yourself pure. Don't get entangled. Fight the good fight. Finish the course. Amen. I think we always need to keep before us this thought. Am I pleasing Christ with my practice? Amen. My life. But a good soldier is also familiar. You know what he's familiar with? The voice of his commander. They say jump, you say how high, amen? And you're ready to go. As soon as they call you to attention, you're you better be at attention. And they give you command, you better step out. No delay. But I think of Jesus. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Listen, do you hear the Savior's voice? Do you hear him preaching to you? Do you hear him calling you? Do you hear him wooing you? Do you hear him convincing you? Listen, you hear his voice. You hear the commander's voice if you're saved. Amen. But we also are familiar with this, the skill of our weaponry. You're in a battle. You're in a war. Don't forget, Ephesians 6 tells us that we are to put on the armor of God. If you're not putting on the armor of God, you're unprotected and you're going to be the devil. You know, he's not going to play fair. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's going to stab you where, you know, where you're unprotected. Amen. And that's how he fights. But you need to learn the art of spiritual warfare if you're going to succeed as a soldier of Christ. You need to know the enemy. Amen. And that's what we do. We not only learn about the weapons, we learn about the strategy of the enemy. Know your enemy. What's the devil going to do? He's a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. He's ever active. He never rests. He's shrewd. He's always attacking. But aren't you thankful that the Lord's always there to help you? He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And the Lord says that in every temptation, there's a way to escape if you seek me. And he says, the weapons of your warfare are mighty through God, amen, to the pulling down of strongholds. A good soldier is a fighter. He's a fighter. I have fought a good fight. Do you have any fight in you? What are you fighting for? What I mean is you got to have some deep down in your gut, some grit, some determination that you're not going to run from this. You're going to stand and fight. You're going to stand your ground. You're going to battle. Until when? Until the battle's over. You're not going to say, okay, well, I'm just going to. He says, I finished my course. I fought the good fight. I endured all the way to the end. Amen. He's a fighter because, obviously, he's determined, he's driven, and he's dedicated. We don't retreat. We don't retreat. I finished my course. We don't retreat, amen? We don't run away. We stand our ground. But not only that, we We realize that the battle does not run according to our time frame. Amen? Another one is in charge of the duration of the battle. But the good soldier is driven to finish. So are we in the battle until the finish? And the truth of the matter is, many Christians are about one disaster and one service away from quitting on the Lord. That's a pretty sad commentary, let me tell you. If you're just one disaster, if you just have it in your heart, if just one more thing, or if there's just one more problem, I'm giving up. You're not a soldier of Jesus Christ. And you're going to be judged not by what I'm saying to you today, but by what he's saying in his word. We need to keep the faith, amen? And he says that I've kept the faith. I didn't give up. Brethren, that keeping the faith, boy, that's a phrase right there today. Because we're so tempted and so pushed. Again, parallel to my message over here about success, I'm studying what is success in the ministry. And you know, parallel with this are all the gurus of church building, church growth, you know, ministry effectiveness and so what is success in the ministry? Well, I'll tell you one good thing is keeping the faith. Once delivered unto the saints, as Jude chapter 3 says, verse 3 says it very clearly, you know. Guarding the faith. We need to guard it. We need to keep it. We need to fight for it. And that's the body of truth that is found in this word. By the way, there are no essentials and non-essential. Everything's essential. Yeah, let's keep the essentials. Well, if you're going to keep the essentials, keep Genesis to Revelation. It's all essential, amen. And he's a finisher. Last of all, aren't you thankful we're getting there? He's a finisher. A good soldier's a finisher. He has some resolve. He's in it for the long haul. You don't just quit at the first hint of trouble. Amen. We need to have a great attitude as finishers. We need to stay with the stuff. Amen. We have a reason. Brethren, there's a reason. I thought about, and I read just recently, is there not a cause? You know, is there not a cause? There's a reason to endure hardship, to stay in the fight, to follow Jesus Christ, to keep the faith. Listen, there is a reason. There's a cause. And I'm thankful that that cause is at the end. There's rewards. Amen. Paul was very, you say, well, brother, you shouldn't, you know, serve God for rewards. Well, let me just say this. God says, serve me and I'm going to give you a reward. He talks about rewards because God wants to motivate us. Look at verse 8. 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but all them also that love is appearing. I mentioned that, I think, this morning. Are we going to love the appearing of Jesus Christ, or are we going to be ashamed? Remember 1 John 2, I think around 28, says we could be ashamed at his appearing. Because we know, wow, I didn't have time to get right with God and do what I said I was going to. Or we could say, I fought the fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished the course. And there's a crown laid up for me. Listen, brethren, this is what the goal is. This is what we ought to be for Jesus Christ. And you're going to be rewarded by him, the commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ himself. And don't you want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Brethren, today, we need to be good soldiers of the Lord. It's interesting, I'm not going to do it, but there's a lot of parallels. I have the character traits by the USMC of a good leader. You'd be surprised how much are so parallel with the Word of God if you truly want to be a good soldier. You're going to have this character in you, even in the military today. God help us. God help us. You got to have this character today in our military. God help us. There's a generation that's going and is gone of true soldiers. What are we raising up? What kind of character? Brethren, it starts right here in the house of God. It starts right here with Jesus Christ. If you're going to have any character that it has some depth to it, that has some drive and determination and some worthiness and value to it, it's because God puts that in you. Amen? And it comes from a relationship with him. I bet you, looking back in history, those million who gave their life, I bet you a great part of them were Christians. Because they had that willingness and desire to lay down their life. Brethren, this is real. When the Lord comes back, what is he going to say of us? You say, today, you have to take analysis today. Would you say you're a good soldier of Jesus Christ right now, right here? Or would you say, you know what? I got some things I need to change. I got to get right with God. I got to get back in the fight. Sadly, some have never even joined the fight because they don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. You're going to have battles, all right, but not the kind we're talking about right here. It's other battles because of sin and destruction in your life. That's the kind of battles you're going to face without any reward at the end of that road. So you need to come to Jesus. He needs to be your commander in chief. You need to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And you can do that by receiving him as your Lord and Savior. Will you stand with me today, every head bowed, every eye?